Today on Real Life Radio.
Why are people asking this question? Why do I exist? Because the Holy Spirit is now waking you up. He's stirring you up. Think of a breeze that begins to blow across the field or through the trees. It starts out gently at first. It's remarkable. He's beginning to wake you up.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called The Why Series with a message called The Holy Spirit in the Life of the Believer, Part 3. Every believer's story begins with the work of the Holy Spirit bringing miraculous new birth. We've been given a new life and a new identity through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, with this being true, does the Holy Spirit have more for us? Is there a reason that we even exist? God has a plan and a purpose for everything He does, and that includes you and me. God sent the Holy Spirit to be our comforter, to be our teacher. But the most exciting part of our Christian experience is that the Holy Spirit will do more than just guide us through the present. He also illuminates our thoughts about the future. So today on this part of the message, Pastor Jack tells us that our salvation through Jesus Christ is a one-time life-changing event, but we still need the continual refreshing of the Holy Spirit's power, both in our everyday lives and for our Christian ministry. And now in his message called The Holy Spirit in the Life of the Believer, Part 3, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
So by now you should be in Acts chapter 19, and this is our launch point tonight, verse 1. And it happened that while Apollos was at Corinth, that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus. So this is Turkey today on our globe, on our maps. And finding some disciples, verse 2, he said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" So they said to him, "We have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit." And Paul said to them, "Into what then were you baptized?" Listen to his surprise. So they said, "Into the baptism of John," or John's baptism. That's John the Baptist. Then Paul said to them, "John indeed baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus." And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So that's interesting. Listen up. That means they went into water and were baptized afresh, anew. And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them. And they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Verse 7, now the men were about 12 in all, and they went into the synagogue and spoke boldly for 3 months, reasoning and persuading concerning the things of the kingdom of God. If you were reading that carefully, you saw at least there the mention twice in two different settings, the word baptism, or to be baptized. In fact, we're actually talking about three types of experiences all in that one portion of Scripture. John the Baptist was in the Jordan River baptizing people. The word baptize is baptizo. It means to go all the way under. I don't want to offend anybody, but it does not mean sprinkle. That's a different Greek word. This word means to go completely underwater and up out of water. And it signifies the life that lived for sin, dying in the grave, watery grave, coming up into newness of life. Now, they were baptized into the baptism of John the Baptist, and John's message was only this: come forward and confess your sins and be baptized. And so that's why Paul, when he shows up, he says, and he must have done it by observation, he's looking at them and he realizes something's missing. Something's off with these wonderful believers. And so Paul is prompted by the Spirit of God to say, have you guys been baptized with the Holy Spirit? And they said, "What are you talking about?" So somehow Paul recognized that there was some lack in these believers' life. But notice, It's not just John's baptism. The Bible here says that they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And then when they laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them. And some will use the terminology as being baptized with the Holy Spirit. So right now, for some people who were brought up in a Pentecostal background, you have one view of that. And for some of you who were ultra-conservative, perhaps maybe a certain type of Baptist community or whatever, you hear what I'm saying right now, and you begin to freak. And on one side, people are going, "Woo! He's going to talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit." And then on the other side, there's going to be a group of people saying, "Uh-oh! No, listen. The Bible is very, very clear. There's the baptism of John the Baptist. Then, of course, we do it here. You do it at your church. There's the baptism of the new believer that has confessed Christ as Lord, and you baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. And they come up out of that water. Why? Because having been born again, they are now baptized in water as an outward announcement to the world that they are followers of Jesus Christ. Salvation is not through water baptism. It's impossible to be saved by being baptized in water. Baptism in water only works if you are first saved before you enter into the water. That's important to know. You never put the cart in front of the horse. A lot of people have confused that they think, "Oh, I got baptized, I'm going to heaven." No, you got wet. That's all you did is you got wet. You need to accept the Lord Jesus Christ, which, by the way, John's preaching had the first word of the gospel, and that is repent and believe. So you repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and we'll see tonight that that is called being born again. And in that moment, the Holy Spirit comes inside of the believer. Listen, because we may not get to it tonight, so I want to say it right now. The moment a person is born again, the Holy Spirit moves inside of them. And the Bible teaches us in 1 Corinthians 12 that the new believer now is baptized into the body of Christ. At the moment of conversion, the Holy Spirit baptizes you into the body of Christ. In other words, at belief, at faith in Christ, the Holy Spirit puts you in the church. But tonight we're going to be learning about what Paul witnessed here in the book of Acts. He saw believers that were lacking power. He saw believers that were lacking some form of manifestation of the Holy Spirit's possession of their life. You say, "Jack, how do you know that?" Because I read it a moment ago. As soon as this event was over, they went and spoke the word of God with boldness. With boldness. We saw that. And they spoke for 3 months. They spoke with boldness and they spoke with endurance. How'd they do that? Because of the power of the Holy Spirit coming upon them. Now, church family, I don't care what terminology you use. I refuse to get hung up on the terminology because different camps, different denominations use different words for this same event. When the Holy Spirit came upon them, it is the Greek word epi, epi. The epi effect or workings of the Holy Spirit. Epi is to come upon the believer, and every time he does, the Bible says it's for power. When you accept Christ, it is the Greek word in, and that's spelled E-N. And that's a one-time event, and that is that placing of you into the church or into the body of Christ. Very important. E-N, to indwell. EPI, to come upon. Two different functions of the Holy Spirit. One happens once in your life, and the other happens an innumerable amount of times, over and over again, as much as you need the power of God, the Bible teaches us. And we won't get into it this week, but in weeks ahead, we'll go to Ephesians 5, where we'll see later that it is a continuous being filled afresh with this power. Very important. It's exactly what Jesus talked about in Acts chapter 1, verse 5. Jesus said, "For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." 50 days, in fact. Pentecost, 50 days. In fact, some parts of the world call Christians 50-day Christians. They'll say, are you a 50-day Christian? First time I heard that, I thought that was cute. I heard that in Russia many years ago. Are you a 50-day Christian? 50-day. And what they meant was, are you a Pentecostal Christian? And it turned out that what they thought was something different than what I thought. And so, church, listen, quickly, as we march through this, the Holy Spirit in your life as a believer, remember this? We looked at who is the Holy Spirit? We've answered that. Number two, where is the Holy Spirit in Scripture as a person? We answered that. Thirdly, why is the Holy Spirit necessary in your life? We looked at that last time together. In fact, we gave a little layout. Remember, it was about the Holy Spirit's, the necessity of him in your life is the fact for salvation, possession, comfort, sanctification, supernatural knowledge, power, protection, vision, gifting. We'll talk on that more tonight. And ultimately, redemption. Fourthly, we talked about how is the Holy Spirit active in your life? We talked about that last week in our teaching. Tonight, mark it down, is number five. The Holy Spirit in the life of the believer, number five, does the Holy Spirit have more for my life? We're gonna ask a question. Does the Holy Spirit have more for my life? In other words, is there more? And I'm happy to report that there is an abundance of more. And with this question comes one of the most exciting, in my opinion, thrilling and meaningful, sustainable driving forces of the Christian life. Does God have more for me in my Christian experience? And the answer to that is an overwhelming yes. I want to just beg with you tonight, and if you forget everything, don't forget this. If your Christian experience is boring, if somehow in your life you have a humdrum Christianity, then I want you to know right now, with all love, I say to you, you're doing it wrong. Maybe that's what Paul saw in the book of Acts. They believed in Jesus, but they didn't have any power. They believed in Jesus, but they didn't have any purpose. They believed in Jesus. They had all the right answers, but they didn't have the right practice. They were orthodox, but they didn't have the unction of the Holy Spirit's grip upon their life. And I want to ask you, do you have the Holy Spirit's grip upon your life? And when he has a hold of you, it's like a handle on a tool. Have you noticed that whenever the handle breaks on your shovel, you throw both away? Have you noticed that if your hammer breaks the handle, it's ruined? Have you noticed that whatever has a handle, when it loses its handle, it's no good? Think about the Christian life. I want you to think about a handle coming out of my back, a handle like a trowel. And it should be true in your life. And that handle signifies the power and the work of the Holy Spirit because God's got a purpose for your life. Absolutely amazing. So this is very exciting. But we've got to remember that Jesus, before commissioning his disciples, he made them understand that they could not do ministry without the power of the Holy Spirit, especially in three ways, and we looked at that before. The Holy Spirit would be their comforter in the world of ministry. Oh my goodness. Dear friends, listen, if you're a pastor tonight or if you're in Christian ministry, if you're on any ministry team or a Christian worker, how in the world can you do Christian ministry without the Holy Spirit comforting you? Because ministry, listen, let me tell you, I'm not a politician, but I happen to be around politicians a lot because I hope I'm making an impact on them. At least that's what I'm supposed to be doing. But I've concluded I would never want to be a politician if they're going to stand for what's right. It is bloody. But you know what? I'm happy to be called a pastor. And some people might say, I don't know how you do it. I don't do this. And you don't do your Christianity either. The Holy Spirit is our comforter. And thirdly, or I should say secondly to that, is that he's our teacher. He's the one that illuminates the Bible to us. And then thirdly, of course, is that he is our guide. So let's look at this together, church. Does the Holy Spirit have more for my life, more for your life? The answer is an overwhelming yes, but let's unpack it. Number one, mark it down in your note-taking. It is true, and he will begin to call you into his family. So I'm going to start right now, and I actually changed up my notes because there are so many new people viewing that I don't want to assume anything. I'm no longer speaking to the choir, so to speak, that used to be here in these seats, okay? So I don't want to leave anybody behind. The Holy Spirit begins to go to work in your life by calling you, first of all, into the family of God. And this happens, as I said earlier, as the Holy Spirit begins to illuminate your thinking. Again, maybe you've been watching this program and you've been thinking, and maybe someone has talked you into sitting down, and all week long you've had different thoughts in your mind. What's going on? I want you to know that is the power of the Spirit of God after you. The great Puritans of the colonial period used to call the Holy Spirit the hound of heaven. I like that. The hound of heaven, that he's after you. And it's the Holy Spirit's power that does that. But it's his heart to illuminate Jesus to you, to get you to be thinking about Jesus. And the obvious question is, for you to ask is, why do I exist? When you start to wake up, listen, spiritually, because you know, you can be like the hamster in the wheel and wear your life out. A lot of people live like that and die like that. But maybe lately, and maybe with all that's going on in the world, you've stopped and you've begun to ask yourself, why do I exist? In fact, have you noticed ministry around the world? Go check and see. All around the world, ministry of the Bible has exploded. All around the world. Check this out. In Iran, as I've mentioned last week, in Iran, people are not turning to the Quran. In Iran, Iran's one of the biggest downloads of Bible online and Bible sermons and Bible studies off out of the cloud down into Iran. Why? Because when you're hit with life, you need answers. And people want answers. And right now, Christianity and the message of Christ is going everywhere. And why are people asking this question? Why do I exist? Ah, because the Holy Spirit is now waking you up. He's stirring you up. Think of a breeze that begins to blow across the field or through the trees. It starts out gently at first. It's remarkable. He's beginning to wake you up. So you might be asking the question, why do I exist? Or you might be asking the question, what's my purpose in this world? I think any normal human will ask some form of those two questions. In John chapter 6, verse 44, Jesus said, no man can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. Isn't that an amazing statement? That's an awesome thing to say because Jesus is announcing that there is no possible way for you to have a mind that begins to entertain God and to have thoughts toward God, to wonder about life after death. Is there a heaven? Is there a hell? You can't think that thought, those thoughts, unless the Holy Spirit is working in your life. And Jesus says that happens by the work of the Father. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 25, the Bible says, at that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank you, Father. So this is actually a prayer of Jesus, if you think about it. I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent, the arrogant, and have revealed them to babes, people that are open. Verse 26, even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight. All things have been delivered to me. You can see Jesus tap his chest. By my Father. And no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Now you've got Jesus announcing, you can't know God without his work in your life. You earlier, a moment ago, heard that you can't know Jesus without the Father at work in your life. And of course, you know, and you're learning, that you can't come to Christ without the Spirit working in your life. The Trinity of God at work in your life. So let's look at a couple of things. It's pretty cool. And again, I assume that you're going to be taking notes. I want you to be learning this and having a class in the home, as it were, right now. But here's a perfect illustration of this truth that I'm talking about. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 25. 1 Corinthians 1:25 says, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God has chosen the foolish things of this world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen. And the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are. Why? That no flesh, verse 29 says, should glory in his presence. God, the Holy Spirit, does that work. And I hope and I pray that he's doing that in your life. He's stirring you up in these last days before Christ comes. Luke chapter 13 next, jot that down. Here's a view, by the way. I'm going to give you two views of the spectrum, two angles from the spectrum of view. Luke 13:10, listen to this. This is from one end of the spectrum. Luke 13:10 says, now he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath day, Jesus, and behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity, sickness, for 18 years. She had a very serious illness for 18 years and was bent over and could in no way raise herself up. So she had some sort of great tumor or some great pain, some great nerve issue. We don't know. Verse 12 says, but when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said to her, woman, you are loosed from your infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. She stood straight up and praised God. This is a humble woman, probably viewed as an outcast because that culture was very cruel. And the word implies that she couldn't even look up. She had to look at the ground all the time. And what's interesting to me is Jesus doesn't go to her. I think this is fascinating. It's a whole Bible study in and of itself. He doesn't go to her to make it easy. He says to her, woman, come here. Doesn't that sound a little mean? But again, I've mentioned to you guys before, Jesus always invites you to exercise faith first. You got to put your feet in the water before you can cross the sea. And he says to her, woman, come over here. I mean, she's listening. And it may not seem like a big deal to you, but she obeys. And she goes to him. What does she see first? She must see his feet, I'm imagining. And she hears his voice. Woman, you're released from your infirmity. And he touches her back. And the Bible tells us that she stands up. She stands straight up. A humble woman, loved on by Jesus, healed.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, in his message called The Holy Spirit in the Life of the Believer, Part 3. Thanks for being with us today. You know, The Holy Spirit in the Life of the Believer, Part 3, is just part of Pastor Jack's series called The Why Series, a series that brings to light the difficult questions of life and helps us with a process to logically reason together while looking to God for the answers. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. You know, we're grateful that you are a part of Real Life Radio. And if these messages have become an important part of your Christian walk, Pastor Jack would really like to hear from you. Simply go to our website at jackhibbs.com. Click on that tab there that says Looking to Connect. Once you're there, we've provided information on how to get a hold of us and a way for you to email us with a thought or a question or simply an encouraging word for Pastor Jack. You can also use that website, jackhibbs.com, to donate or to partner with us on a monthly basis. Your contributions really are a big part of what keeps us on the air, and we welcome your thoughts and prayers anytime. Again, all the information you need right there at our website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.